Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next public hearing is public hearing to consider an ordinance authorizing a countywide referendum to be held on the statewide primary August 18th, 2026, as requested by the Escambia County School Board.
Many voters don't bother to vote in primaries because they don't believe there is anything for them to vote on. Everyone in Escambia County deserves the chance to vote on this referendum.
I want to be clear about what's happening here. This isn't about just where to place a referendum. It's about who gets to decide the future of public education here in Escambia County. If you place on the 2026 primary ballot, you are knowingly limiting participation. Primary elections here are consistently drawing a smaller, less representative electorate.
This is one of the most amazing things, and I've been here now 13 years, and so to say that is kind of wild. But the Escambia County School Board, three members of the Escambia County School Board, Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and Tom Harrell, voted to put the elected superintendent issue back on the ballot this year because they want there to be an elected superintendent. Carissa Bergosh and David Williams did not vote, voted against having it back on. But that's not the interesting part. I have no problem with this being something we vote on again. I think it's a little too soon, frankly. I think we ought to give it a decade. You know, big structural changes in your government. You know, it's not fair to, you know, judge this based on Tim Smith. It's not, but Keith Leonard, okay? It's just, you know, give it some time. If you're going to make a change, give it some time and see what happens. The problem is not that. The problem is that they're putting it on the primary election. When voter turnout is low, when a lot of people don't even know there will be something for them to vote about, you are deliberately manipulating this election in order to get the outcome you want because they believe, these three school board members believe, that if you put it on the primary, you're more likely to get this to win than if you put it on the general election. When everybody's going to show up, you're going to have a gubernatorial election, you're going to have relatively high turnout for a midterm, you're going to have contested races across the board, Republicans and Democrats, everybody's going to show up. And as somebody who prefers to have my own outcomes win, of course, everybody does, but I believe in the process. I believe in democracy. I believe in having as many people whose a decision is going to affect them having a say in how that decision gets made. And frankly, I think that we'll probably return to an elected superintendent. And if you think that there's an overwhelming consensus to return to an elected superintendent, put it at the general ballot and show that that's the case, instead of manipulating the system to put it on the primary in order to restrict or game and likely get a much lower set, but of people who are more likely to vote the way you want, and then to get the end result. It's anti-democratic. It's anti-American. It's wicked. This is wicked. It's morally wrong what they are doing. Paul Fetzko, Kevin Adams, and Tom Harrell, people who otherwise I don't have any problem with. I like them. They're smart guys. They generally say things. I mean, I don't always agree with them, but that's not the point. This one thing is so wrong. It's disgusting. And so what happened is they wanted to do it. The Escambia County Commission said, hey, don't you think this ought to be at the general election? And the school board voted again. Nope, we want it on the primary. And so now it's back to the county commission to figure it out. Well, the public showed up and talked and said some incredibly moving things, exactly what I've been saying all along. Derek Scott is the voice here.
I want to be clear about what's happening here. This isn't about just where to place a referendum.
Oh, sorry. I think I played that one already. Here's a second comment from him.
In Florida and across this country, primary voters skew older, with a disproportionate share being 65 and above, and are more likely to be white and partisan, particularly Republicans in closed primaries. That's not speculation. That's just fact.
It is.
But in Escambia County, we have a more diverse population. We have young families. We have working families, residents, independents, and a significant black and people of color population whose voices deserve equal weight in a decision of this magnitude.
Absolutely. Especially because, you know, if if you're better off and you're white, the school system, if it's not a good school, you've got a lot of things going for you. If you're poor and you're black and the school system's not good, you don't have a lot of power in that situation. That's a problem. So, yeah, particularly families with young kids, people who might not be, you know, haven't been in the workplace a long time because they're younger, minorities, they should absolutely be involved in this decision. That's why you put it at the general election.
Choosing a primary election means choosing an electorate that does not reflect the full demographic of reality in this county.
Correct.
And let's call it what it is. It's a structural change on how we govern our schools. This will impact every parent, every student, every educator. Decisions on that scale should not be made by a narrow slice of the population. They should be made by the full electorate.
100% true.
Now, compare that to the general election, where turnout is at its highest, participation is broadest, and the voters actually reflect Escambia County as a whole.
Now, I just want to make sure you're aware. If this is, and it will be, on the primary ballot, that means everybody in Escambia County can vote in the primary. Nonpartisan, you know, NPAs, unaffiliated, never vote in the primaries. But you will be able to. But they don't even know that they do unless they happen to know this issue's on the ballot. If you live in an area where there's no contest or not significant contests, or you're just not accustomed to voting in the primary because, let's say, you're a Democrat who lives in a Republican district and you realize or you think, like, there's nothing for me to vote on, you don't go. That's the point. They are gaming the system on the basis of those facts and those pieces of ignorance in order to get a result that they want. It's disgusting.
So the question isn't procedural. It's more ethical. Do you want a decision made by most people or by the convenient subset of folks? Because if this referendum passes on a low primary turnout ballot, there will always be a question about whether it truly reflects the will of the people. In 2018, we decided this by the majority of Escambia County residents on the general election ballot. So you have an opportunity to get this right and do this the right thing. I'm going to ask that you vote this referendum down and send it back to the Escambia County School Board to workshop it to be placed on the 2026 general election ballot, where every voice has a fair chance to be heard.
Of course, the problem is they've done that once already in the school board. Again, Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and Tom Harrell said, nope, we want it on the primary. So they've already tried this, and that didn't work out so well. So what did the Escambia County Commission do? I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, expect about a 7-minute delay, and also Avalon Boulevard southbound approaching I-10, a 9-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So at the county committee, and again, this should have been done right by the school board, and in a 3-2 vote, they did the wrong thing. Now it's in front of the county commission in Escambia, and do they have the power to move it to the general election? A question which Lumen May asks, which Allison Rogers, the county attorney, says she recommends that they don't move it because then they could get sued by the school board and the school board would perhaps have a chance of winning that lawsuit, which would be amazing to see the school board. I push them. Make them do it. Make Kevin and Paul and Tom actually sue the Escambia County Commission to move a ballot initiative, you know, from the general to the primary because of a partisan purpose. They might even win that lawsuit, but make them do it and vote them, and then vote them out of office. Would be my approach. I think they can do everything else right. They're doing this wrong. It's so wrong that this is an easy choice for me to say to oppose them. Now, if they want to change their minds and repent, because it's at that level for me, if they want to repent and say, oh my God, we listened to Andrew and no, he's right. This was incredibly immoral of us. We'll change it. I would praise them for doing that. Anybody can make a mistake, even twice, and then you can do the right thing the third time and maybe get it right. So what did the county commission do? Well, one thing that came up is they asked the attorney general for the opinion. Can we? Do we have the power, or is this a purely ministerial function? Like, we have to sign off on this. And the attorney general's office, James Uthmeyer's office, that can manage to find time to write opinions about the NFL or about race issues or any number of other irrelevant things that are not his actual job, couldn't find time to write an opinion for Escambia County to figure out how to have election integrity. So her advice is, in the absence of an AG opinion, do what they want. We might get sued. So Lumen May, who I generally don't agree with him very much, he's a black Democrat, I'm a white Republican, he's my commissioner, but I often disagree with him. He's 100% right on this. He says, this is ridiculous. This is politics. I believe in democracy. We should have more people involved in this. It's totally wrong. Stephen Berry, District 5, who, though he's a Republican, I often disagree with him. He says, and I give him credit for this. There are two things he says that are important. Number one, he says, I agree with the critique, but it's not our issue. This should have been the school board did this right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't disagree with anything that any of the speakers said. Our venue, in my opinion, is not the venue where the argument really lied.
And he's right about that. It's not really their job to fix what the school board did so wrong. It's not really their job. And you can say, if the school board has the power to do the wrong thing, they have the power to do the wrong thing. And the Escambia County Commission, you might say, doesn't have the power to fix it. The voters have the power to vote them out later, after the fact, to punish them for their stupidity. And I don't know that he's wrong about that. I was really on the fence on this. I would probably have voted with Lumen May to stop this because it's so egregious. You know, sue us. Go ahead. Let's see what happens. But I also understand Stevens respecting another governmental authority. That's, he's not wrong about that. And, you know, it's not, it's just not our job to fix this problem. So Mike Kohler is going to jump in here, District 2.
I appreciate the comments. And Commissioner Berry, I kind of feel like you do. It seems like a pastor. I don't even support this. I believe in appointed.
So he believes in appointed, which is what we have now. He thinks this is a pass-through or a ministerial function.
Versus elected. But I also believe that the school board has the right as an elected body. I think it should more than likely be on the primary.
I think, and he meant it should be on the general. He just misspoke there for a second. And he goes on.
As far as legal, I know we didn't get anything back from the attorney general, but is there any other case studies out there in something like this where, because I believe that, and I don't know if Ms. Odom would want to say, that the school board would potentially sue us, right, if we didn't do it, is what I've been told. And I have no interest in that over this issue. Is that correct? Can you just give me yes or no if that's true? Yeah, so.
If they could sue us, Mike, that doesn't make any sense. Why would it even come to this board? I mean, we have no authority over it. Why would it be sent? That's like
I'm just saying what I was told.
I mean, so if they're going to say, well, you can't do anything about it, you have to follow whatever they say, then they don't need to send it to the county. I think that's statutorily incorrect. I mean, I bet you can get five different legal opinions on that.
Ellen Odom, by the way, is the attorney for the school board that they're talking about. And Lumen's raising a good point, which is why do we have to vote or sign off on something if we don't have any power to change it? Either don't make us be involved, or if you are going to let us be involved, then we should have the ability to change it. Since we are involved, he's saying we should have the ability to do what we want to do.
There's no, you say, well, it's whatever the school board says. Well, why would the school board send it here? Why would the legislators say send it here if we have no authority? You're saying we have responsibility with no authority? That's not democracy, clearly.
It's not the first time. It's not the first time.
I'm not arguing.
They're right.
So, I mean, it's like unfunded mandates. It's like doing 4% and 9% tax credit. Well, we have to do exactly what the school board says, but we have to vote on it and put it on the record. That's not a good. And you say the attorney general has not given an opinion. Why haven't they given an opinion? I mean, you know, so listen, I mean, it is what it is. I certainly recognize exactly where my colleagues will be. We're not going to, you know, labor it all day, but.
Yeah, well, I am because I think this matters. Oh, somebody texts, what was their stated reason? Why did the school board state that they wanted it on the primary? They gave two reasons. One was they thought it'd be confusing for people to have too many ballot initiatives on the general election. Okay, and they said this is the purest way to find out what the voters really want because the people who really care about this issue will show up to vote in the primary for it. You know how when you have a really bad thing you want to do, and you know you got to come up with a reason for the bad thing you want to do, and you know you can't really justify it rationally, but you got to say something? Well, this is the purest way to isolate the voters who are really passionate about this issue. It's just so wrong.
Regardless, I think that if there's ever an opportunity to eliminate voter suppression, give every person an opportunity to vote, we should give it at the chance that allows for the most people to come out. And statistically, historically, more people come out in a general election than a primary election, and there are more people on that ballot. That gives all the people the opportunity to make a decision about the education of their children.
Commissioner Berry.
And that is the, I presume that's the argument that David would have made at school.
David Williams, a school board member for District 3, Lumens District. What Stephen Berry is saying is, yeah, that's a great argument. It's just that's the argument that should have been made to the school board. And it was made to the school board. And the school board, again, three people on the school board. I give credit to David Williams and Carissa Burgosh for voting no on this. I do. Because they were in the right and they lost the vote. Kevin Adams, Paul Fetsko, and Tom Harrell voted to do this ridiculous thing.
I move that we adopt the ordinance to place it on the statewide primary ballot.
I second it.
All in favor? Okay, that is 4-1 with Commissioner May voting against it, I'm assuming?
Absolutely.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
And again, I don't want to give too much grief to the Escambia County Commission in this case because I think there are good arguments on why they would vote to just do what the school board, deference to legal counsel, deference to another political entity. It's not their business, not really. I would have voted with Lumen May, okay? I would have voted to not put this on the primary ballot. The real issue is the school board. And the discussion happening at the county commission highlighted the ridiculousness of what the three members of the school board have done. 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. Oh, and by the way, if they want to change their mind and repent and apologize, oh, crap, we were so wrong. Good. I always celebrate when people will fix a mistake. Go ahead, John.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Or let's see here. We've got a small delay on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 5-minute delay in that area. John, let's see here. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola. You're seeing about a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Somebody texted, that wasn't a valid argument. It was a confession. Yes, exactly. The worse the arguments are for a thing, the more you know the person's admitting they shouldn't be doing it. Hey, if you need a roof or you need a repair or you're not sure and you just want information, whatever the case may be, or you've got a, you know, you're selling a house, the roof is 12 years old, and you're like, do I need to? Yeah, probably you do, weirdly, but that's the way it works these days. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. You know, I remember when they were first coming to us as an advertiser, and I didn't know much about them. And I just kind of, you know, I ask around. I look on the internet and I do some research. And I talk to them, of course. And I asked my wife, I said, do you know anything about Quality Roofing Solutions? She says, the one thing I know about them, because we've never had to replace a roof, okay? She says, the one thing I know about them is on Nextdoor, whenever the question comes up, who do you recommend? There's usually two or three answers. They are always on this list. Every single time. They've been around since 2006. They've done 10,000 roofs in this area. Brian Ward started a company, just wanted to take care of folks. Be the kind of construction people that you can trust and count on and talk with and work with and will treat you well. I had a good friend who just used them to build, you know, to do a roof. And she's like, hey, they weren't the cheapest. They weren't the most expensive, but they did what they said they were going to do. Just like you say, they treat you well. That's the idea. You get what you expect and you don't get treated like, you know, you're an infant or, you know, the kind of scuzzy feeling you get a lot with contractors. Unfortunately, it's sad, but true. They have a 4.9 rating on Google, which is amazing. They have the lifetime warranty on the workmanship of the roofs. And just talk to them and find out what makes the most sense for you. 777-0961 for QualityRoofingSolutions.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who do you let influence you? Proverbs 1:10 says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Those who promote evil are vying for your attention, approval, and even involvement. As Americans, we are faced with a barrage of sinful temptations promoted by others. Whether it's through social media, music, movies, or even in person, the world around us is full of enticing influences. One of the key elements to spiritual and mental success is to learn how to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Surround yourself with Christ-like people who have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Remember, if sinners entice thee, and they will, consent thou not, and your heart will both be liberated from guilt and strengthened with joy.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Santa Rosa County Youth Livestock Show is this Saturday, April 11th, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Santa Rosa County Fairgrounds, 8700 Randy Brown Road in East Milton. Blue-blooded hogs and cattle will be shown all day and auctioned at 6 p.m. Families with kids who want to show animals should come out. There will be bounce houses and barbecue for your kids, too. Brought to you by Santa Rosa Medical Center, Adams Homes, Cox Communications, and Pinelands Nursery. The Santa Rosa County Youth Livestock Show, feeding the future.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We shall say nay again to you if you do not appease us.
Well, what is it you want?
We want a shrubbery!
Good morning, 729 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Some reaction on the ceasefire from Pope Leo. He says he's welcoming that ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran. He told a crowd in St. Peter's Square yesterday he took the news as a sign of deep hope, and he announced that there will be a prayer vigil for peace in St. Peter's on Saturday.
You know, Deep Hope is actually the Pope's nickname when he's playing basketball. Deep Hope!
You learn something new every day.
Deep Hope.
Okay, then.
He's Deep Hope!
News. I'm CJ Papa. Pakistan, the venue for the critical face-to-face peace talks between the U.S. and Iran, led by the Vice President.
What could be J.D. Vance's biggest assignment yet as Vice President? He will be there. Steve Witkoff, the special envoy, will be there. Jared Kushner, another special envoy, will be there on the U.S. side. On the Iran side, you've got the Parliament Speaker who has been talking to President Trump, Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf, and then Abbas Araghchi, the foreign minister.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. President Trump on Truth Social says the U.S. military is not leaving the Middle East until a real peace deal is agreed to. The fragile ceasefire holding this morning, the Defense Ministry for the United Arab Emirates reports no incoming Iranian missile or drone attack so far today appears to be the first day since the war began that Iran has not fired at the UAE. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got, looks like mostly cloudy skies, about 60 degrees across the area. We'll get to a full forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. Yesterday, the University of West Florida naming its first ever Division I men's basketball head coach. It was Tanner Smith, most recently associate head coach at Appalachian State. He'll lead the Argos into the D1 era.
To have a chance to have my own program, I'm excited to build it the way I've always wanted to.
And Smith spent two seasons at Appalachian State, where he helped the Mountaineers reach a program record 27 wins in their first NIT appearance since 2007. He's a former standout guard at Clemson, where he was part of three NCAA tournament teams. Athletic Director Dave Scott says Smith is a high-character hire who will build lasting relationships with student-athletes and the Pensacola community. The University of Florida kicking off its annual Founders Week on Sunday with a week of events that run through April 18th, highlights including a day of service on the 15th, which also includes a beach cleanup. And some volunteer opportunities at local nonprofits, a day of giving on April 16th to support UWF programs, and the week wrapping up with the bootleg ball, the UWF Historic Trust's bootleg ball. And that'll be on April 18th. New UWF President Manny Diaz Jr. says he's excited to experience his first Founders Week. Local sheriff's deputy under internal review after a video surfaced of unprofessional interaction with a so-called First Amendment auditor. The sheriff's office says the deputy's actions did not reflect the agency's core values of courtesy, integrity, and professionalism.
Nice little attitude on you, huh?
You do too, little man.
Yeah, little man, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, take all the shit. I could take you on, though.
Come on, then.
Exactly. Take it all
Come
off.
Come on, then.
Take it all off.
Come on, then,
take
man.
Take it all off. You ain't got badge and gun and face.
Okay.
And then you'll call back up, you little gang up on me.
And that interaction from body cam video released by the sheriff's office yesterday The sheriff's office says they take the matter seriously and are committed to transparency. The deputy has now been moved to an administrative assignment as a review continues. Florida's Public Service Commission has unanimously rejected a request to reconsider its approval of the Florida Power and Light $7 billion rate hike. Opponents now plan to take that fight to the Florida Supreme Court. Northwest Florida customers actually will see a slight decrease, about $2 a month this year, and then those rates will start climbing every year through 2029. Well, when it comes to marriage law, Florida needs to get with the program. That's from Governor Ron DeSantis on Fox News this week. He was talking about a law he wants to change that allows first cousins to marry. DeSantis said a lot of states already ban marriage between first cousins, but a bill to ban the practice failed to pass the state Senate last month. The other 15 states that allow first cousins to marry include California and New York. DeSantis says it's linked to cultures that are anti-ethical to American values. 735 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with John, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect about a 10-minute delay. And also I-10 eastbound right around Pine Forest to Highway 29, expecting about a 7-minute delay. And 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, about a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 77 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59. For Friday, sunny skies, high near 78. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Saturday, sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it's 62 degrees. We've got some clouds moving across the area. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Murray with your money now. Middle East tensions are forcing oil prices to rise this morning by more than 3% after Iran accused the U.S. and Israel of breaking the ceasefire agreement. West Texas currently hovering at roughly $98 per barrel, Brent at $97. Shipping and maritime experts say traffic through the Strait of Hormuz will not normalize anytime soon, despite the two-week ceasefire agreement. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy.
Refineries in Asia are having problems. Jet fuel prices prior to this continue to jump. So we're certainly not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination yet.
More price hikes could be on the way. Meteorologists say an unusually powerful El Nino could take shape later this year, exacerbating global food security fears. One analyst told CNBC that an El Nino event could put upward pressure on cocoa, food oils, rice, and sugar. Futures are slightly down as traders keep an eye on the U.S.-Iran ceasefire. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 1325. That's your money now.
Big renovation plans? Don't pay big prices. Now, Home Outlet in-store doorbuster deals are live. Save $2 a square foot on hybrid waterproof oak flooring. Now just $198. Interior door units, any size, starting at only $99. Or upgrade your bathroom vanity for just $219. Plus, deep savings on countertops, exterior doors, bathroom fixtures, and more. But hurry, these doorbuster deals won't last. In-store at Home Outlet Pensacola location only. Find us at homeoutlet.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say their quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday. When we're not talking to the chief, we talk to both of them. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we're going to get to the First Amendment auditor stuff and the Escambia County Sheriff's Deputy interaction with that person on Friday. But before we do that, because I know once we get to going on that, we're not going to want to come back and do anything else. Seems like it's been a, let's just say, relatively low news week for the police department, which I will take. But two things I want to talk about. One is Amanda Robinson's Officer of the Year, right?
Yeah, and it well deserved. Amanda is a very hard worker, one of the best investigators we've ever seen, and she's when she gets on a case, she's like a pit bull. She's not going to let go of that thing, as most of them are. So it was great to see her honored for her hard work, and which continues every day. If to know Amanda, you know that everybody.
Mike, did we lose him entirely? Ugh, phones. It happens so rarely that, you know, there's not like a great, better solution or whatever, but it's just when it happens, it's so annoying. It's live radio. And, you know, these are the things that sometimes you have to deal with. If it's Ryan Jenkins, it's, you know, him being out in the field somewhere in North Santa Rosa County. And we just wait to, you know, to figure out a reconnection for him. If it's Mike, I don't even know if he knows he's disconnected now. He might be talking to a dead phone, and then suddenly he's like, why isn't Andrew talking back to me? I don't know. All right, there he goes. He's calling back in. So apologies for that. Live radio is live radio. It's something you don't – it just is what it is. All right, hey, Mike, you back there, sir?
I'm back.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, so you were just talking about Amanda Robinson, how great she is as an investigator, that she's like a pit bull. She never lets go and well deserves the honor.
Yeah, absolutely. And anybody that knows her completely understands that. It was a great decision. We were glad to see it.
The other one is that I think over last weekend, but you tell me if it's also ongoing or upcoming, there was some special enforcement, I think, with FHP for DUI and aggressive driving. Is that right?
Yeah, and we partner up with them. We've done this before. Certain times of the year when drunk can peak, and that way we've got twice the manpower out there. We do it in various parts of the city, and I think there were 8 arrests made that night, and some other speeder charges and other things like that were made. And this is something that we're going to continue to do throughout the year multiple times.
All right, very good. Any other news I'm missing other than what we're going to get to talk about here in a second? Any other incidents you want to mention?
No, it's been quite uneventful, and we like that.
I'll take it. Okay, so Escambia County Sheriff's Deputy was involved in an interaction with somebody who describes himself as a First Amendment auditor. I would just say, words I can't say on the radio, but a deliberate jerk, a dill hole, or whatever, you know, however you want to say it. Somebody who is at the Islamic Center, outside of the mosque, basically, where the deputy is doing extra duty security. She talks to him and says, you know, hey, why are you videoing? Which is perfectly, I think, and we'll talk about it, within, you know, her job is to make sure that people are being safe, especially with, you know, a religious institution. Then he provokes her, which is what he's trying to do, provoke, and, you know, engage, an insult, and try to get her to violate his constitutional right to be on public property with a video camera, basically being a jerk, but not doing anything that rises to the level of a crime. Let's listen to a little bit of the audio. This is about 3 minutes in.
I know you were turning down.
Oh, you escalated it. Now we're going to play. Yeah, you haven't met somebody like me, have you?
I have. Plenty of. I've met plenty of before.
I know. Oh, you're going to call me names now, huh? You scared? Call backup.
I don't need backup.
Stop f***ing circling.
Don't touch me.
Did I touch you?
I can dare you to. Go ahead. Get out of the roadway. You're blocking the road.
All right, so it's a lot of this. It's lengthy. you know, he's verbally harassing her, but right up to and not over the line of what would be illegal. And so let's talk about it a little bit, because, Mike, you do PIO training. You literally teach other cop communicators and other cops how to handle stuff like this, right?
Yeah, and let me say, first of all, that, you know, I try to stay in my lane and not talk about what's going on in other agencies, but I am 100% team Escambia County Sheriff's Office on this one and that deputy. They are a very professional organization, as everybody knows, and I believe that this deputy had just at some point just had enough things. Yes, could have.
Not twice. Oh, it's killing me. This is just killing me. I know Mike will call right back because I know he really wants to talk about this. Let's listen to a little bit more of the interaction, because what had happened is he was standing on the road videoing cars, and then he kind of briefly stepped onto the property, but I think it was in the easement, you know, so it's kind of like this not really their property kind of thing. And she had touched him briefly at one point, or so it seemed that way. Not too much, but at least a little bit.
Go ahead. Get out of the roadway. You're blocking the road. Blocking the driveway. Oh, man. I flew a long way to f***ing you, like you.
Perfect.
Got her.
F***ing circling me again?
Don't f***ing touch me.
Did I touch you?
I f***ing did you, too. Go ahead. I'm not scared of you either, bitch.
Did I say you were? You keep putting words in my mouth.
Me?
You keep putting words in my mouth.
You gonna spray me? You gonna shoot me? Huh? With all that, dude, you're nothing.
So again, this is not a pleasant interaction, but that's his purpose, is he's trying to be that way. I think we got Mike back on the line. Third time's a charm, Mike. So you were in the process of explaining what you do to teach people to react to stuff like this.
Yeah, and the number one thing is to...
All right. Hey, we got him. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Mike. We lost you there again for a second. I think if it happens again, we'll probably have to cut off the interview. I apologize. I hate to have to do that because I still want to hear what you have to say, but go ahead.
So you give them your name and badge number, and then you can end that interaction. Unless, you know, it's what I'm doing, legal or illegal, you can answer that. But once it becomes confrontational where they're just trying to get video in order to get clicks, in order to get paid, that's when you don't have to.
Yeah, it seems like silence. You know, like, as you say, my name, here's my badge number. I'm going to stand here because I'm working extra duty, you know, keeping security. But that's it. You don't even have to talk. You can be like the Buckingham Palace, you know, cops or the military. You can just stand there and watch. And now, right? Silence is powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they're looking for because they get paid. I wish TikTok and others would quit paying people for stuff like this, but that's why they do it. You'll never see the ones where the officer doesn't say anything and there's no confrontation because they won't upload them. It's useless to them. So, again, I hope this deputy is back on today. This is just something that, you know, a couple minutes of training will take care of. And, you know, these people will not make any money if there's no confrontation. That's why you... that where there is no confrontation, but there's videos of officers conduct is just extremely wrong, and it's all over the place, and that was not the case with this sheriff's deputy.
You know, that's a great point, that some do it so much worse, and they don't show you the ones where they do it flawlessly, but you know, unfortunately, as cops, you have to bat 1,000, and if you don't bat 1,000, you know.
And, you know, this is not just aimed at law enforcement. It's anybody. You have to understand that they do have rights. They do have the First Amendment right. If you are in a public place and your eyes can see, so can your camera on your face. So you have to don't confront them. The ones that don't confront, if you go to, you look at some of these videos, there's 5 or 6 people in a let's say, outside of a restaurant, and the only one that confronts them, they concentrate on, because that's going to get them clicks. That's going to make them money. If everybody stands around and looks at them and doesn't respond, that video will never even get uploaded.
We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD, about this so-called First Amendment auditor and the reaction by the Escambia County Sheriff's deputy. We'll be back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Home Outlet Pensacola. Home remodeling for every budget with savings on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more. Not seeing any accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, that construction zone, seeing a 7-minute delay, and also 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 9-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood with the Public Information Officer with the Pensacola Police Department, and this video that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office put out of the interaction with the deputy from last week with this so-called First Amendment auditor. There were a couple of questions that I had just about the particulars in this case. One was, when he's circling her, if you're circling me as a citizen, I consider you a threat. I might well punch you. I mean, I'm not shooting you, not yet, but you're a threat if you're circling me. Am I wrong to interpret it that way?
No, you're not. And if you get within arm's length reach, that is where you can fear for your health and safety. And, you know, and looking at this video, I think the deputy handled that very well. She could have done more if she wanted to and chose not to. So if you're getting in someone's personal space, that's where you draw the line. If she was to go back to her cruiser and get in it and close the door and he.
And he continued to be there. Yeah, no, I get. And like when we used to do martial arts, the training for us was always the first thing, if you're in a street encounter, I mean, you have all kinds of options when you're in a street encounter, but the first clearest thing you can do is literally just yell at him, stand back and leave me alone, hold your arm out. Not enough that you can be grabbed, but, you know, to create that this is the space within which you cannot come or else there's going to be problems. Because that forces them to then make the decision, either to touch you, to come into your space, or, you know, to back off and go somewhere else. And, you know, so that's what I wanted to hear. I was curious about that because it seems to me like that would have been the case. And if you're circling around me and I let you get behind me, now you really are a threat because you've acted in a hostile manner. And even if you haven't done anything that's physically menacing, I'm not going to in this situation, I wouldn't. And I would imagine an officer would actually be a bad judgment to let him get around behind him. All right, 7:50 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So sorry about some of the technological issues we're having today. It doesn't normally happen, but, you know, every once in a while, the world just gets you. And again, I do apologize for that. I wish I had a way to solve it, but I don't. So there you go. All right, 7:50 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about that next home, selling or buying, picking up a rental, picking up a vacation rental, picking up a beach home, a second home, maybe, you know, downsizing. You're empty nesters, okay? Or you're upsizing because the family's growing, or you want to move to the country, you want to move to the city, you want to eat a lot of peaches, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm sorry, I always hear that song in my head when I think about living in the country. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're fantastic at this. 209 homes sold last year. That doesn't even count the number of homes they help people buy. Okay, I'm sure that number is in the hundreds, or at least 100. I don't happen to know the number. But the point is, all the time, doing deals, closing deals, making it happen for folks, solving problems, getting people into their homes, finding the right price, finding the right audience, staging it, showing it, all of that stuff. They're just very, very good at this. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You got brass, man. I'll give you that.
You want my game? You couldn't deal with my game, Jack. You're outmanned.
Let's find out.
Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry?
A couple of follow-up comments. We got a bunch of texts in about the deputy interaction for the Scambia County Sheriff's Office. Again, they have said that her behavior, her actions did not live up to their high standards, and she's on administrative leave. I would assume that there's some, you know, a little talking to a little training and then back out on the field. At least I would hope so. I just think, you know, being a cop is such a difficult job. And again, you have to bat 1,000, you know, period, because people will fixate on the things that you do wrong or even do inadequately. I actually thought, you know, compared to a lot of the ways she could have reacted, that she did fairly well. But I also think she could have done better, you know, in this particular case with Mike. And, you know, don't feed the troll. That's the problem. Don't feed the troll. When people are trolls, you just got to learn to, you know, silence is a powerful thing. Silence is a...
I was just like, no, your radio's still working.
Well,
it's maybe, Andrew.
Maybe not as funny after we just had the connection issues with Mike. Right. But still, silence has power. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, this... I don't know if I want to give you this advice, but I'll tell you something to ponder. Okay, you know how you have an argument pattern in your relationships? Everybody has argument patterns in their relationships. The bad ones are the ones that are bicker back and raise and escalate and, you know, and okay, that's a bad pattern. A better pattern is breathe, think, I love you. You know, that's a good pattern. Leave the area is a good pattern. I'll tell you a very powerful pattern is when somebody, if you're in a relationship, because this is a lot like a bad relationship. It's a spontaneous, very awful, terrible, abusive relationship. But, you know, sometimes in an argument in a relationship, somebody says something and you just give them the Gen Z stare. You know, just nothing. Now, that can be infuriating, too. But, hey, silence is better than saying a stupid thing. Sometimes just a pause, a breath. I love you. I'm so glad we're married. You know, like you can reframe. You can ignore. You can just, I don't want to say something that I'll regret. You know, I need to go to my room. You know, whatever the case may be. 437-1620. There was one other thing I was going to, text. She shouldn't have engaged him. He does have the right to video in public. You can't trespass the eyes. That's true. That's a good phrase. You have to create your own privacy. The officer just needs a little bit more training or reminder. Somebody says, what about the 25-foot halo for working law enforcement officers? You know, the halo law. I don't think that applies because there's no underlying incident that she's dealing with. And so there's no reason he can't be wherever he wants to be on that street, as long as he's not interfering with traffic. It would have been kind of interesting if we lived in a state that had a jaywalking law and he was in the middle of the street, like, dip, jaywalking. But in Florida, there's no such law. You can legally jaywalk, there literally is no such thing. You can jaywalk as long as you don't impede traffic, which with the cars was kind of the issue, too. Is he impeding traffic, or is he just talking to people? And again, you can video anywhere you want to be. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7-minute construction congestion delay. And then 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, there's a 12-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody says, the auditors plus the so-called sovereign citizens push your buttons way too far. I'm sure glad that I retired from law enforcement 20 years ago. I'd probably not have made my 25 years of service. So that worries me, too. And I do think there's a loss of respect, maybe not as much around here. You know, we do better. But this loss of respect for law enforcement, or the basic idea that if you're in school and you get yelled at by the teacher when you get home, you're going to get spanked. And if you're talking to the cop and you're rude to the cop, oh, we'll take care of that. You know, it doesn't need to be the cop, doesn't necessarily, but the idea that don't talk that way to anybody or the police or just people. And in this case, a woman, I mean, just it's wrong. What's wrong with you? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, I love your silence is power point, but I just want to say that 3 seconds of silence was physically painful for anyone who's worked
for anybody who's a broadcaster. What's happening?
So Sean Diddy Combs is trying to get his conviction overturned today. Lawyers for the rapper will be in a New York appeals court arguing that he was treated unfairly He was sentenced to 50 months behind bars last fall. There's a Texas family suing an energy drink company after their teenage daughter died from an enlarged heart. Attorneys say 17-year-old Larissa Rodriguez died last year from excessive caffeine consumption. They say she had begun drinking Alani Nu energy drinks before she died and drank at least one or more a day. And they believe that's what led to it. So
there's that. Yeah, again, I'll just say this. I don't trust energy drinks. I've never had one. They don't seem healthy to me. I know people love them. Even my kids, you know, love them. They pay for them themselves. I don't buy them for them. So,
well, this particular one I hadn't heard of, but apparently it's got 200 milligrams of caffeine, which I don't
that's
know.
That's a lot.
Is that a lot?
I think.
Is that more than a normal energy drink?
I want to say that seems like a lot to me. Oh, you were saying something interesting the other day about the military energy drinks.
Yeah.
That whenever the military is engaged in an operation, you can know first by?
Rip It energy drinks. That's the energy drink that they have at all the military, you know, facilities, and they give them for free, you know, when you're out on deployment and whatnot. And if you see the supply of Rip It energy drinks, they've got like a can with some red, you know, stuff on it. If you see the supply of that vanishing out of all your like local dollar stores and that type of places where they're sold, it's because the military's ordering it all.
When was the last time you were able to buy a Rip It at a store?
They have been in low supply for about 3.5 months.
There you go. That's how you could have suspected something was happening. So, all right, very good. Man, interesting day. Interesting day. I'll just say that. Talking about the school board, we might come back to that a little bit later because somebody has a contrary comment, and I just don't have time to get into it right now.